This morning comes from Psalm 27, a psalm of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation, so why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger, so why should I tremble? When evil people come to devour me, when my enemies and foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though a mighty army surrounds me, my heart will not be afraid. Even if I am attacked, I will remain confident. The one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in his temple. For he will conceal me there when troubles come. He will hide me in his sanctuary. He will place me out of reach on a high rock. Then I will hold my head high above my enemies who surround me. At his sanctuary, I will offer sacrifices with shouts of joy, singing and praising the Lord with music. Hear me as I pray, O Lord. Be merciful and answer me. My heart has heard you say, "Come and talk with me." And my heart responds, "Lord, I am coming." Do not turn your back on me. Do not reject your servant in anger. You have always been my helper. Don't leave me now. Don't abandon me, O God of my salvation. Even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord will hold me close. Teach me how to live, O Lord. Lead me along the right path, for my enemies are waiting for me. Do not let me fall into their hands, for they accuse me of things I've never done. With every breath, they threaten me with violence. Yet I am confident I will see the Lord's goodness while I am here in the land of the living. Wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord.
Last week in our time around the Lord's table, I mentioned that God owns the wealth of the world, but he praises nothing more than the worth of our worship. And then during the message, as we considered Martha and the death of her brother Lazarus, we see a woman of little faith. And yet we also see a woman who appreciated the presence of Jesus nonetheless. She was caught up in grief and loss, but appreciated Jesus' presence and comfort. And today, as we look at this beautiful psalm, these words from David perhaps reflect what's going on in our hearts as well. Let's take a moment in prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the words of David in Psalm 27, words that are very real, words that reflect where some of us might be at, and we can appreciate what David was going through. But Father, we thank you for his confidence in you, regardless of the situation that he faced. His faith in you was sure, and he appreciated your presence and your comfort. So, Father, as we look into your word now, we pray that your Holy Spirit would just enable your word to be living and active in our hearts and affecting the way that we live accordingly. So we thank you as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 27 is a mountain peak of faith. A mountain peak of trust in God, despite the fearful and troubling situation that David faces. And I wonder, what is it that causes you fear? Not ground-shaking trepidation. What I'm asking here is the feeling of apprehension, anxiety, concern, alarm. Things that cause some elevation of fear. What is it that raises those things for you? Is it the fear of the unknown? The fear of death? Fear of the loss of a loved one? The fear of failure? Fear of being rejected? The fear of sickness? The fear of loneliness? The list can go on and on. And where do you place your confidence in spite of those fears? Where do you place your confidence? This psalm opens up with a profound affirmation in the security that is found in God Almighty and God alone. A real sense of security David has. He's on the run and fearful for his life, and yet he declares that God is the firm foundation, the place where he finds absolute refuge. He may have been hiding in a cave from King Saul, and yet he trusts in God for him as his place of shelter and protection. He may have been physically on the run, but spiritually he's in a good place, trusting in God. He says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" He says, "The Lord is my light to guide me, my salvation to deliver me, and the stronghold of my life in whom I take refuge." David declares that the Lord is his place of absolute confidence. He has his fears of his enemies as they pursue him, yet he places his trust in God to guide and deliver and knows God as his place of shelter and protection. Again, what is it that causes you fear? And where is your place of confidence? And we can be encouraged by David's words here that he doesn't ignore or hide away from recognizing the battle that he faces. He doesn't pretend that they don't exist. He says, "When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then, I will be confident." These were sad and intense realities for David that he's facing as he acknowledges that there are wicked people out to seeking to devour him, both physically and to destroy his reputation. We too need not pretend that we don't have our fears. Don't pretend they don't exist. Don't pretend that we're on top of it all. If you have fears, express them. We can declare them before God, just as David does, and let God know how we're feeling and what it is that troubles us. And many of us face medical problems, financial difficulties, troubling family tensions, false accusations. But like David, can we proclaim that even if these things are to get worse, even if things are to get a whole lot worse, still our faith in the Lord remains and he will keep us safe. David says, "Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. Things could get worse. My confidence remains in God." And his confidence doesn't come in the absence of trouble, but rather in God who is with him through those troubles. For God is greater than the problems. As I said, even if his problems are to become even greater than they already are, God will be with him. And the troubles that you might face, even if they're to get worse, God is with you. As with Martha And we were considering her last week. When she heard that Jesus was entering their village, she rushed out to meet him. Well, so it is with David. Verse 4, "One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple." Now, David could not literally seek God in the temple. The temple had not yet been built. Nor could he ever find himself in the inner sanctuary of the tabernacle, for he was not a priest, he was not from the tribe of Levi. But what he's expressing is that he longs for nothing more than to know God better and trust him more. To know God better and trust him more. In the words of John Stott, David longs to savour the sweetness of the Lord. To savour the sweetness of the Lord. He is single-minded in his focus. In prayer, it is the one thing that David longs for, and through a concerted effort, he will seek to be in the Lord's presence. And we might express that we too long to know the Lord's presence, to be in the Lord's presence, but are we single-minded in our pursuit? Do we spend time in prayer with God and then pursue God's presence ourselves? Do we make a concerted effort to be in his presence, to dwell in the house of the Lord, to seek him in his temple, to read his word, to seek his heart, to understand him better, to worship him, to savour the sweetness of the Lord? Do we make that a concerted effort? Gazing upon the goodness and the faithfulness and the beauty, the grace and the mercy of God. Again, do we make that a priority as a concerted effort to do these things? For such is David's confidence in God, knowing him as his friend, he says, "For in the day of trouble, he, God, will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock." David is safe with God, secure in God's presence, where God will provide shelter from the burning heat of those who are bringing accusation and physical damage toward him. And God will place his feet on high ground above the flood. For the closer that we are to God, the less we may fear what life throws at us. The closer we are to God, the less we might fear what life can throw at us. Perfect love drives out fear. And whatever may be causing you anxiety or concern or alarm, well, it all just melts away as you rest in the perfect love that the Father has for you. Sad and intense realities may remain, but we are safe, secure, peaceful in the Lord's presence. As you've experienced through your life with the Lord, hasn't the Lord always been good to you? Hasn't he provided you with shelter, a place of rest and trust that although things look bleak, his presence brings you such confidence and hope and reassurance? And as you face troubling times, have you felt secure within his grasp? Standing firm upon the rock. And these first six verses declare the confidence that we can have in God, who will never fail us. And David has referred to God in the third person. The Lord is, the Lord will. Well, now David makes it personal. And he speaks of his own need for the Lord, and he reveals that he does not take the presence and the power of God for granted. He knows that his sins deserve God's displeasure. And so he doesn't assume that he is righteous enough to presume upon God's goodness or to expect God to bow to his immediate needs and wishes. He remembers his place before God and he counts it a privilege to come before him. And he's also very aware that he, a sinner, stands before a very holy God who knows that his only hope is to receive God's mercy. That God won't give him what he deserves. And so the tone of the psalm shifts. And in the midst of the battle, and when we find ourselves in the grip of fear, we too ought to pray like David. As we reread these verses, notice the desperation in his voice, but also notice his humility before God. The recognition that in his situation is dire, yet his faith in God to carry him through remains. And as you face your troubling times, aware of your own sinfulness, pray like David. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. He's single-minded in his pursuit. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me. God, my Saviour, though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. He's still confident in the love and the goodness of God. Teach me your ways, Lord. Lead me in your straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. In humility, I trust that when we come to the Lord in prayer, when we are seeking to be in his presence, that we recognise that we come at his invitation. Come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest. The all-powerful, almighty God, the holy God, invites us to come to him. And he says, I will give you rest. Draw near to me and I will draw near to you. For when the time had fully come, God sent his Son to redeem those under the law that we might receive adoption into sonship. Come to me, draw near to me, you will be adopted as my children. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So, all praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in his great mercy has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We are sinners, gratefully receiving God's grace and mercy, redeemed, adopted, and blessed. Praise God, redeemed, adopted, and blessed. It is then that we read the mountain peak of David's trust in God. As the psalm concludes, I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And so wait for the Lord, be strong and courageous, and wait for the Lord. Be strong, take heart. Although his enemies are numerous and his battles that he faces are intense, his faith is in God. His faith remains. And these words remind me of Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. These words also remind me of Jesus' words on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? A few verses later we read, into your hands I commit my spirit. Walking into the unknown, yet walking within the will of God, we too may demonstrate a mountain peak of faith in God to save us. For he is with us, and he will never forsake us. Although there are many things in life that we face that may cause us to be apprehensive, anxious, concerned, alarmed, even fearful, knowing God as our Saviour, dwelling in his presence and gazing upon his beauty builds our daily trust in him. Like the wise man who built his house upon the rock, when the storms of life come along, his life stood firm. So like Paul, I trust that each one of you can declare that if God is with us, who can be against us? If God is for me, who can be against me? In the words of Ian Williamson, it's all good. It's all good. Although your faith may be tried, may you come through triumphant. And your faith will be tried, but may you come through triumphant, trusting in God. For he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. For I'm convinced that nothing else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so our world may be hostile towards us in many ways, and our world may be causing quite some fear at the moment. Still, may we remain confident of this, that we will see the goodness of the Lord, and that as we wait upon the Lord, he will grant us strength and hope. Amen. Let's pray.